A good crowd looks like this morning. I can see you fell back. You got those clocks back and hopefully enjoyed that extra hour of sleep and were just ready to get up and worship the Lord this morning. So we're glad you're here. I've already met some visitors that are visiting with us for the first time. We're certainly delighted that you have chosen to be with us. And we just are so thankful that we believe the Lord brought you here, and we hope that you'll feel our love for you being here this morning. On just kind of a sad note, Darnell and Angie, right down here, it's their last Sunday with us officially as members at Crosstown. They're going to be moving this week to Wichita, and Angie has taken a job there, and she'll be closer to her family, and we're excited for them and that new move and transition, but we're sad because this is a couple that we have grown to love and become very attached to. And I think our Monday night for the Master Group is going to be disappointed as much as anybody because they've been such a great encouragement in that ministry. And so we want you to know we love you and you go with our hearts. And they're promising now that that they're going to come back often and see us. And we're going to hold you to it, okay? Once a month, yeah. We just keep them as members. Can't we do that? Just technically dual membership. But we wish you the best and Godspeed. And we know that you're going to do great things for the Lord. And the church up there will be blessed having you, I know. Okay, we're looking at the continuing a series as we're kind of each week coming alongside our New Testament challenge readings. And each week we have a different theme that kind of hopefully draws a little focus in our reading schedule. And this past week, or this week, is the theme of intentionality. Following Jesus Christ, being a Christian, is something that we do. We make a deliberate choice. We do it with purpose. And when you think about some of the scriptures, if you read some of the readings this past week, they certainly had that theme in them. That we'll note a couple of these here in just a moment. But following Jesus Christ is an intentional choice we have to make each day. It doesn't happen by accident. We don't just stumble our way into Christian living. We do it with intention and purpose and deliberation. We want to be followers of Jesus Christ. We want to keep His commandments. We want to follow His example. And you know, that is easy to say, but it's such a challenge to do, to live life intentionally for the Lord. You know, we think that would be easier, but the reality is it is a great challenge for us. We have problems living out our faith intentionally. And I wonder about that, and I think there is a video clip here that we're actually going to show from years past. So now, kiddos, you watch this video. It's in black and white, and it's from Bill Cosby, the comedian, I think, in his famous bit about Noah and the Ark and God's conversation. God's conversation with Noah.
Thank you. I want to talk to you about a fellow by the name of Noah who built an ark. Now, everybody knows, we ask a question, say, what did Noah do? They say, well, he built an ark. But very few people know about the actual conversation that went on between the Lord and Noah. You see, Noah was a carpenter, and he was in his rec room sawing away, making a few things for the home there.
Hooba, 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 Noah. Hooba, 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 hooba. Noah.
Who is that?
It's the Lord, Noah.
Right. Where are you? What do you want? I've been good.
I want you to build an ark.
Right. What's an ark?
Go out into the woods, collect all of the animals in the world by twos and make the ark out of cubits, 80 cubits, 40 cubits, 30 cubits. Right. What's a cubit? Let's see, a cubit. I used to know what. Well, don't worry about that. Just go out and collect all those animals by twos, male and female, and put them into the ark. Right. Who is this really? What's going on? How come you want me to do all these weird things? I'm going to destroy the world. Right. Am I on candid camera? How are you going to do it? I'm going to make it rain for 1,000 days and drown them out. Right. Listen, do this. You'll save water. Let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights and wait for the sewers to back up.
Right.
Well, I love Cosby's conversation, imaginary conversation between Noah and the Lord, because I can relate to that a little bit. I don't know if you can relate to that as well. You know, the Lord comes along and He asks us to do some things that are, not only are they challenging, but sometimes they're just flat out weird. They're difficult. They go against the grain of everything else. I mean, here's the Lord comes along and He tells us to, if someone strikes us on one cheek, I want you to turn the other cheek. Right. If someone takes your coat, I want you to give him your extra one. Yeah, right. Not only do I want you to love those who love you, I want you to love those who are your enemies. Right. I want you to, as Paul would say about Jesus, I want you to seek not only your own interest, but the interest of others, and consider yourself in humility, others greater than yourself. Right. You see, it's a challenge. It's difficult to live intentional for the Lord. We have these commandments, we have these teachings, we have this path, the truth, but it's a great task for us this morning to live the kind of life the Lord calls us to, living intentionally. It's really not so much a matter usually of knowledge. We usually know, have a pretty good understanding of what God's asking us to do. We have a good idea of right and wrong. But it's rather our problem comes in taking the things that God says and stepping out of our comfort zone, stepping out of our fear, stepping out of what we think is best, and trusting and doing what the Lord has asked us to do. We're talking about living intentional lives this morning. You know, part of the scripture readings that we had this past week was out of 2 Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Paul tells this young preacher that God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and of love and self-control. That's saying that God has given within us what we need to do what He's called us to do. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And if you believe that God has given you that Holy Spirit as a Christian, then that ought to do away with all the excuses we might try to make. God has equipped us. God has empowered us. God gives us that spirit of love to be motivated to do what we know we should do and to develop a self-disciplined spirit as well. There's no reason why we can't do what God calls us to do, to live the life God puts before us. Now, what I want to do this morning, and I really kind of struggled with our lesson this all week, but I want to quickly go through the outline here on the sheet, and I want to give you these three overall points, and then I want to give you seven helpful suggestions, and then I want to come back to point number one. that we're gonna note here on first of all, three things that I think intentional living involves. So it's going to be a little bit different, I guess, in the structure of the sermon. We'll see how it goes. But let me give you these first three summary statements about intentional living. Intentional living, number one, Christians need to be intentional about their priorities. And we're going to come back to that more in just a moment here, a little bit towards the end. Jesus in Matthew, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 22 talks about the rich young ruler, and he calls him to come follow me. That's intention, intentional, deliberate, a choice that he was calling him to make. And again, we'll come back to that a little bit later in our sermon. And then secondly, intentional living. Christians, if they're going to be intentional, they're going to be intentional about their spiritual growth. Their spiritual growth. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 6, before Paul tells Timothy that he's given us the spirit of power and love and self-control, he says, first of all, to fan into flame the gift of God. I find that interesting that he says that the Spirit has been given to us and it is a gift from God. I think if we saw the Spirit as a gift, I think we'd be more intentional about our spiritual growth and developing our Christian life that the Lord calls us to, that we would take every opportunity to fan into flame the gift that we have been given from God. And then thirdly, kind of a summary statement here, that intentional living, Christian living, Christians are to be intentional about their character. About their character. Paul would later write to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, and he would say to do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Now the word that he uses here, approved, is a word that means to test something. Something that's been proven to be authentic. And that's the idea there is we want our faith to be proven, to be tested, because that produces character. Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about our Christian hope from Romans chapter 5, and we talked about Paul said we glory in our sufferings, our trials. And he says we can do that because it produces perseverance. Remember that? And perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope that does not disappoint us. But the idea there is the trials and the testing, it refines us. It makes our faith genuine and authentic and real. And so as we face the tests and trials of our life, we realize that that is about the building of our character and our faith. And that's something that we're to be intentional as we live our life, realizing what we're going through at those times. God has a plan and has a purpose for that to strengthen us. Now, let me give you here these seven ideas here that I want to give this morning. I want to be practical in a lot of ways this morning, maybe, and then I want to get real specific here about something that's on my heart this morning. Let me give you seven ideas to help us, I think, be practical Christians and practical living our faith intentional ways, in very practical ways. The first one is to show up. To show up. You know, you've heard the old saying, 90% of all success is showing up. And there's a lot to that. And you've made that choice here, even specifically, to show up this morning. And that says something about your priorities. It says something about where you want to be at in your life as a Christian. You've gotten up, you've changed, you've showered, hopefully, you've put on nice clothes here, you're here this morning, and that's a choice you've deliberately made. It says something about what you value here. You could have been a number of places this morning. You could have stayed in bed, even though you had an extra hour of sleep. We know that that's a choice that you made. And you're saying something about how important Christ is to you and to the kingdom, what the kingdom is, how it matters to you in your life. And so show up. We need to be intentional about our faith in that regard. Another thing we need to do is get connected. Connected to the other family of faith, believers. To get plugged in. To find a place that you can serve in the family, in the church body. And sometimes that's hard. You know, sometimes, especially if you haven't been at a congregation very long, maybe you haven't been at Crosstown very long, and you wonder, where do I fit in? Where do I plug in? Where can I serve? I mentioned, appreciate so much about Darnell and Angie, because they found them a place to plug in that Monday night for the Master ministry. And so You know, that's always, that can be a challenge though. Don't get discouraged. You just keep pressing and finding a place that you can plug in God's body, in God's family, because you get connected. That strengthens your faith and your relationship with God and with other believers. Another thing we need to do is think it through. We need to think it through. We need to have a vision in our mind of what we want to be as a Christian. We need to have that vision. And so every day when we live our life, every choice we make, every action, every thought, it goes through that prism of what we want to be for Jesus Christ. We want to be intentional about what we do. We get up every morning and we're thinking about that purpose and that intentionality of living our life for Jesus. And again, all the choices we make, all the actions and things we are involved in, it needs to run through that criteria of the kingdom and of Christ and the things of God. We need to be intentional about that in what we do. And then we need to pray. That's another one, is pray. A part of our scripture reading again this week was a passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. You know, that connects us to God in such a powerful way when we come before the Lord in our hearts lifted up to Him in prayer. You know, maybe it would be a good idea after we did the New Testament challenge, maybe do a prayer challenge. What if we were intentional and purposeful every day about our prayer life? We set aside time to pray. We set aside things we want to pray about. You know, what difference that would make in our life. I mentioned about the Spirit that God has given us that Paul mentions in 2 Timothy 1. That Spirit is there to strengthen us, to encourage us. And I believe one of the primary ways, one of the works of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians is in response to prayer, God strengthens us. You look at Ephesians 3, verse 16 and 17, that Paul is praying that we would be strengthened through the inner man, through his Spirit. You look at the book of Acts and you see how the church is praying and how the Spirit is giving them, emboldening them with the mission that they were doing. We see prayer such a part of our spiritual, a catalyst for spiritual growth. And we need to be intentional about that in our lives. And then, of course, number five there, we need to read the Bible consistently. Church, that's what we're trying to do with this New Testament challenge. I don't know how you've been doing. I don't know if some of you have started out strong, but you've kind of given up or fallen by the wayside these last few weeks. But we hope that you have been engaged and you've been strengthened and you hopefully are developing some spiritual disciplines as we're going through this New Testament challenge. Now, I also want to say this. We have 3 weeks left. Why don't all of us renew ourselves to this New Testament challenge? Why don't you pick up the schedule, go on the website, the Facebook page we have on Facebook, go to the blog that I have. You can get the schedule, and for the last 3 weeks, let's all renew ourselves to this. It's a great week to start. You'll pick up at the passion story of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. And then we're going to move into Philemon and the book of Hebrews. And then we're also going to be reading the Gospel of John later this week. It'd be a great week to renew yourself. And let's commit to that these last 3 weeks because we know the Word of God is the primary catalyst for our growth. You know, Paul would tell Timothy as well in 1 Timothy, the first letter that he wrote to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. Maybe you started out on the New Testament challenge and you know, you realize this is going to take discipline to do this. This isn't just all, you know, just some high, lofty, glorious thing. This requires hard work. This requires some dedication and some sacrifice and some determination that regularly each week I'm going to read these verses from the New Testament challenge. I know this has been a challenge for us. But again, exercise yourselves for godliness is the key there. We've got to exercise ourselves towards godliness. And then number six there, to serve. Hopefully as we're reading the Gospels, reading the New Testament, we're seeing the mission of Jesus. We're seeing our mission to be servants. That life doesn't revolve around us, but it revolves around the mission of God. Jesus Himself said He came not to serve, to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many. I love what Paul in Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, that as we have opportunity to do good, let us do good unto all men. And the word there, opportunity, is just that. And I believe that the Lord, when we're looking for those opportunities, He's going to put them in front of us. He is going to provide the opportunities to serve. I think if you'll just go about that with intentionality, that with that kind of purpose, as you start your day, as you go throughout your day, each week of your life, where can I serve God here? Where are some opportunities that God has given me in my job, in my community, my neighborhood? Those opportunities are there. We just got to look for them. Serve God with that intentional focus. And then we need to make a plan, number 7. You know, spiritual growth, it doesn't just happen. We just read, again, 1 Timothy 4:7. Exercise yourself for godliness. Now think about that. We all know how physical exercise and taking care of our body works. You have to be intentional about it, don't you? You have to have discipline. You have to have, you know, exercise. How am I going to take care of my body? What am I going to eat? The calories, you know, all those things. It doesn't just happen. You don't become physically fit and healthy just by accident. You have to make a deliberate choice. And we have to have a plan. How am I going to grow? What am I going to do? What are the things that God has given me in my life to cause that growth? You know, I like what Peter would say in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 as he concludes there, grow in the grace and knowledge. He would say in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, add to your faith, and he mentions these virtues, knowledge and self-control and all these things, brotherly kindness. We got to have a plan, specifically looking at our life, where do I need to grow at? What are some areas I need to be stretched in spiritually? We're all at different levels. We're all at different faith journey, in our faith journey. Where am I at? And what do I need to do to grow stronger going forward? Make a plan. Make it personable to your life and what you're doing. Now, as we come back to the kind of the outline here, you know, we need to be intentional about our priorities. That's the very first summary statement that I gave you there on the outline, number 1 there. I think that's our most challenging one. It's our most challenging one. You know, Jesus, there's a passage that we read this past week in our reading schedule where Jesus has this encounter with this rich young ruler. You know this story. And this young man comes to Jesus and he asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, you know, keep the commandments. And he says, I've kept all these from my youth. What do I still lack? You know that story. Jesus tells him that you still lack one thing. Verse 22 of Luke 18. Sell everything you have and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And we know how that story ended. He went away sad because he had great wealth. You know, the issue there is not his money per se, that Jesus doesn't have a problem with people who have wealth or money. That's not the issue. This man's problem was his wealth was controlling him. This man was trusting more in his money than he was his God. And he wasn't willing to give that up if it meant to follow Jesus. We've got to be willing to have Jesus first and be willing to give up everything else if it needs to be. And this young man, his wealth, his money, was going to prevent him from following Jesus like he needed to. The issue wasn't money. The issue was his trust in wealth and money above everything else. You know, and Jesus calls us the same thing. Not necessarily to give up all our money. That's not the point that he's making. But Jesus is to be above everything else. And everything else that we have to sacrifice, that's a part of it. That's a part of it if we have to do that to follow Jesus. You know, I've known Christians that they've given up, they've made the sacrifice to not take job promotions because it would not only put them in situations that would compromise their faith, it would cause them to their faith to not become the focus as it needs to be in their life, maybe because of the job they're going to be in. I've seen this with family, situations where family can be lifted up to the point that it is taking first place in a person's life. And no, Jesus has to be above everything else in our life. It doesn't matter what it might be. But those are usually the big things we think about. But for us, I want us to think this morning here, it's not so much in the big decisions we have to make. You know, we find ourselves sometimes at those crossroads where we have to make a very critical, life-impacting choice. That happens sometimes. But for most of the time in our life, it's these choices we make to prioritize Jesus and our faith in the very mundane things of life, the very basic things that we go through in life. Are we going to put Christ first in our life every day? You know, that's really when faith is demonstrated. That's really when intentional living shows itself. Intentional Christians understand that. And they understand that the choices that they make every day, those impact their faith and whether Christ is going to be first and we're going to follow Jesus. We need to think about the choices we make about the things we prioritize, church. We need to think about the priorities that we make, the choices we make about those priorities. Too many of us who call ourselves Christians, I'm afraid, are prioritizing other things above God and above the kingdom of God. And you know, I want to be very specific this morning about an example with this that I think is affecting the church. It's affecting us, and I want to use the example of parents, because parents, we have to be intentional about this. We have to be intentional about our faith and about the faith that we model and we demonstrate to our children. It really is. If there is one big elephant in the room, not only this morning in our congregation, but in most congregations, even across the religious board, it is this right here. We are losing our young people at an astronomical rate like we've never seen in Christianity in America. Not only in churches of Christ, but across the board, studies have been done that are showing in record numbers, our young people are leaving the church when they get about 18. I've seen it in Churches of Christ studies that have been upwards of 50 to up to 60% of our young people, when they graduate and they leave the home, they, for the most part, will leave the church. It is one of the great crises that we have right now. In Christianity. Again, all recent studies and research are showing this. You know, Justin, our youth and family minister, our student family minister here at Crosstown, he is becoming so passionate about this. We are becoming passionate about this, that we want to equip parents, grandparents, members, but especially parents, to become the spiritual champions in their kids' life. Every study across the board is bearing this out, that the youth minister or whoever's in those prominent roles, their influence is very minimal compared to the influence of the home. A recent study, did I lose my screen here? All right, let's see if we can cue that back up. There is one particular book that has come out that has really grabbed me a little bit in its findings. The book is by, I had a slide of the book, but it doesn't matter. It's by Kenda Dean, Dr. Kenda Dean. The title of her book is Almost Christian. And it is basically telling us what our young people are seeing in faith in our Christian communities. She is a professor of church, youth, and culture at Princeton Theological Seminary. She is one of the driving forces behind a very preeminent work called the National Study of Youth and Religion. This is one of the most preeminent bodies of work that has been done in recent years to see what young people are thinking about faith and about Christianity. This was an extensive study that was over a period of 3 years, interviewing some 3,300 American teenagers, with an additional extensive follow-up interviews with over 500. I mean, they just worked them over. They want to know why they believe what they believe. They want to know why so many are walking away from the faith into their college years and into their 20s. And again, keep in mind, some of you may be thinking, well, Robert, now don't overreact. We've always had young people over the years that when they get, you know, out of the house and out of the home, for a period of years, they're kind of struggling to find out who they are, and they often will leave the church, and they'll come back. Folks, let me tell you, they're not coming back. We are at a crisis in religion, and particularly in Christianity today, because we've never seen this. We've never seen a generation literally not come back. They are choosing to not come back. And we've got to get serious about this elephant in the room. Listen to what Kenda Dean says here. She says, American young people are theoretically fine. They're doing fine with religious faith. But it does not concern them very much. It is not durable enough to survive long after they graduate from high school. And she goes on to describe how this generation we're losing can be tied into. We're not prioritizing faith. Listen to what she says here, quote extensively here a little bit this morning. The bombshell of these findings upon the Christian world is that teenagers are learning very well the kind of beliefs and faith that their parents and congregations actually espouse and model. Too often a feel-good replacement of Christianity that has wooed us into believing a self-serving, feel-good, do-good gospel that is a far cry from the self-giving love of Christ. The lackluster, less than consequential faith of American teenagers is directly the result of teens seeing their parents and faith communities practice a kind of faith that is often a thinly veiled self-help moralism. Teenagers have imitated this kind of faith, but unsurprisingly, they don't find it to be very important. Hence, a lack of consequential faith among American teenagers discovered by the National Study of Youth and Religion. In other words, she's saying that what the research is saying is that teens and young people are seeing in their parents and in the community of faith, they're seeing a faith that is optional. It's not a priority. It's not intentional in their life. And when our young people have the choice, guess what? When they're presented the choice, they are choosing to opt out. They're saying it's not a priority in home. Why should it be a priority in my life? Dean continues, with startling regularity, kids mimic the kind of faith modeled by parents. In terms of developing consequential faith, parents matter most. Faith is a way of life, not only a body of information to master. This means that church youth programs are important, but play second string when it comes to the transmission of faith. Dean continues. She says, teenagers are not the problem. Now, I know a lot of parents are shocked when they hear that have teenagers, but might think otherwise, but they're not the problem. The church is the problem. And then she gives this statement. But the church also has the solution. She concludes, the response of youth ministries to this study should not be to push responsibility for faith development back onto the parents, but to discover new ways to come alongside parents in recognition that both community, the faith community, and parents must work in tandem. Youth ministry has to include parents, first by supporting parents in their own faith and second, by helping parents model and communicate faith to their own teenagers. Again, we could summarize all this here this morning. And what it means is that when we look at the faith lives of our young people, when we look at the faith life of our young people, they are modeling exactly what they are seeing. They're not seeing the priority in us. Not just a few hours on Sunday, maybe an hour on Wednesday night if I come back Wednesday night. They're not seeing the priority in the home, in the life of their mom and dad. It's a very superficial, very shallow. It's like when God comes along, as Bill Cosby was saying, you know, and Noah, I want you to do this. Right. And kids seeing mom and dad, that it doesn't make much difference when they're at the grocery store, when you know, someone cuts them off in traffic, or whatever it might be. The faith doesn't make much difference too often, too many times, is what kids are observing. And this is just all, they just absorb this. I don't even think for a lot of kids, it's not when they get to that age and they make that conscious decision, I'm walking away. It's just, it's become such an option to just not live for Christ that it just kind of goes unnoticed. And I think, again, if we would look into our own lives, and I've had the opportunity now to work with three congregations full-time, both in Cleveland, Oklahoma, Shawnee, Oklahoma, and now Crosstown, Oklahoma. And I see it. It is the great threat of the church's future. We've got to do something to turn this around, church. If we're going to have a congregation here in 10, 20, 30, 40 years, we've got to get serious about this. And this starts with us as members, as parents especially now, that we get serious about intentional living, that we model in front of our young people what Christian, radical Christian living is even like. It's a great challenge for us in our life. It's something that I know Justin feels passionately about it. I feel passionately about it. I know our elders feel passionately about it. We have to get serious about this challenge. And again, as parents, grandparents, as members, we all have a part in this as a community of faith. And I think it's a great, great call for us. You know, we got to keep in mind, as we appreciate the time here that you're giving me here, the rich young ruler passage as we close. You know, I go back to that passage. And, you know, Jesus really makes, there's an underlining assumption here that Jesus is almost, is in the text. That whatever this rich young ruler has to give up, Jesus is worth it. He's worth the sacrifice. He's worth whatever this young man has to give up. Jesus is far greater. And you know, Jesus goes on to describe this in this passage after he tells the disciples that how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. His apostles are astonished and they say, "Who then can be saved?" Luke 18, verse 27. Jesus replied, "With what is impossible with man, impossible with man is possible with God." Then Peter said to him, "We have left all we have had to follow you." "Truly I say to you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life." He's saying whatever sacrifice you have to make, it's really not a sacrifice if you look at heaven. If you look at eternity's perspective, it's worth it. It's worth it. And so the question is that reflected in my life? The choices that I make, the behavior that I engage in, is that reflecting the priority of eternal life, of heaven, of Jesus, of the things of God, the kingdom of God, seeking first the righteousness of God? Is that reflected in my choices, my actions, my decisions, my entertainment choices, how I use my money, how I use my time, how I use my talents? Is all of that being reflected in that? And if it's not, then, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing this morning? If we're not going to be intentional about this, we're wasting time this morning. We're wasting precious time in our life. But I know you believe this morning, most of you believe, that you want to be intentional. You want to go to heaven. You want to see the Lord one day. But we've got to do it with purpose and intentionality. And especially if we want to see the future of our churches grow and thrive in the coming years, the decades. I got to tell you, if we don't turn this trend around, the American churches, and especially in Churches of Christ, we're going to have some very difficult days in a lot of places. We've got to get intentional about living serious lives for the Lord. And I know you want that. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to challenge you. I want to share my heart. I got three children. I've got skin in the game. Okay? This means something to me. And I know it means something to you as well, for your children and grandchildren. And so let's focus on this intentionality. Let's pray this morning and then we'll conclude. Father, we thank you for all that you've given us. Father, it is all worth it. It's so worth it, Father, more than anything in this world that the world throws at us. Father, help us to realize that it's far greater than anything else we might cling to in this life. Father, give us a vision for your kingdom. Give us a vision for the things of God and of Christ. Father, help us to have a passion for you. Help us to keep our priorities in line with our faith. Father, our culture and our world, so much is against us now. And Father, we're being attacked on every corner, it seems like. Father, we've got to be intentional about our faith and about Christian living. Father, we can't be passive. Father, this won't happen by accident. Spiritual growth is our responsibility. It's our choice. Father, help us this morning. Father, this is a good church family here at Crosstown. We love you. We love our children. I believe we love the things of God. But Father, we have got to do better. We have got to have a focus on you more. Father, that starts with each and every member. That starts with each and every member in the home, with our children and our grandchildren. Father, they are modeling what they're seeing in us. We have to be honest this morning, Father. All of the studies show that our children are opting out of faith. And all of the data shows because it's not a priority in our life. We have to take responsibility this morning, Father. We can't push this off on anyone else. No more blame, no more anything. We have to own up to this, Father. Help us to begin this morning to turn this around. Help us as each and every member of this congregation, whether our children are in the home or gone out of the home, Father, help us to begin modeling, encouraging, teaching by our example and by our words, Father, that the priority of our life is you, that the kingdom of God is what matters most in this life, Father. Father, help that be so radically clear in our choices that, Father, our young people, they won't have any choice, Father, but to see how important this is, and they'll want that, Father. They'll see that. Just as we read this past week in our scripture about Timothy's mother and grandmother, Father, who had authentic faith, they modeled a genuine faith in front of that young man. And Father, no doubt he became the great servant that he became. As we think about Timothy, the great helper and assistant of Paul, the apostle. And no doubt, Father, that all began because of his home life, the influence that he saw there in his home. Father, help us this morning to have this greater determination. Help us, Father, to repent, Father, of those things that we have put ahead of you and in the kingdom. Other priorities, Father, that have been put ahead of you. Father, help us to resolve this morning to do better and to do greater things for you in the coming days and months and years of our life if you allow us to live. We're thankful for Jesus, Father. Help us to fix our eyes squarely upon Him and have that intentional focus for Christ in our life. And we ask this prayer in His precious name, Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning we want you to know that the invitation of Jesus is here. That maybe you realized you haven't been intentional about the gospel. You've been kind of putting it off. And maybe this morning your great desire is to become a child of God in your faith, in your repentance, and in your immersion, being baptized into Christ. You can become a Christian this morning. You can walk out of here a new creation. with a new master, a new Lord, a new focus and purpose in your life. Intentional living can be yours this morning for things not of this earth, but ultimately for things of eternal value. Maybe as a Christian you've struggled in this area. Maybe as a parent. Maybe as a member of this congregation. You haven't made faith a priority, the priority of your life. And you need to ask for prayers. We would wrap our arms around you. All of us this morning can do better and be better. But maybe you have a specific need this morning. If we can help you, come as we stand and as we sing.